course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. You know, just living the dream. Sitting in my nice, cool, air-conditioned home.
Sure.
Unlike one of us.
Rub it in. That was very pointed because the off-air conversation was about how fucking hot I was. So that's what he leads with. Good God.
I had to do it to him.
Oh, I'm telling you, people, this is going to be an episode. We've got Grumpy Dave in full effect today, and I have not had enough alcohol to counteract the heat and everything else. But I am happy because today we'll be discussing and reviewing the movie Jurassic World Rebirth. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Yeah, actually, I got to watch a little bit. I had a few days off for the holiday, so let's see. We finished Squid Game Season 3 that just came out, so that was really, really good. It's not exactly horror, but I don't know. I feel like it's kind of adjacent just because the subject matter is just so grim, but that's pretty good. I also watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I'm going to watch the second one tonight, I think. Just to prepare for next week when the remake comes out, or the week after, whenever it is. And then I also watched a show on Netflix. There's two seasons of it. It's called Alice in Borderland. It is a Korean show, but it is, to me, it is better than Squid Games, but it's in like the same genre of Squid Games, kind of. Season two ended on a cliffhanger, but I would say it's horror adjacent. It's pretty brutal. There's some pretty graphic violence and effects in there, so it's pretty legit. But yeah, other than that, didn't really watch much of anything. Just kind of enjoyed the weekend, and yeah.
Well, let's see. The only thing horror related at all that I watched is I watched the Woman in the Yard on Peacock, and it was all right. It wasn't horrible, wasn't great. I can see why it would kind of got a lukewarm reception and all that, but wasn't horrible. It you know, by no means was horrible, but not necessarily the kind of thing that that grips me. So but that's all pretty much horror related that I watched. So then I guess we'll just move right on.
Stomp the co-host.
And as we mentioned last episode, we're going to play Stomp the Co-host. This is where Ike and I have two identical horror trivia decks, and we have two cards from the deck that is four questions total, and we alternate, asking each other questions, and whoever has the most answers correct at the end of four wins. If we are tied, we continue to play until we have a winner. As of now, let's see, we have played six times. We play once a month. And Ike has won, let's see, five. Five of the six. Oh, boy. I'm not even, that's depressing. That doesn't help Grumpy Dave at all. But, you know, and I'm not saying, you know what, I don't have my usual, whatever, shish boom bah thing. This will be the week. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just do it. And whatever. So, Ike. Do you have your cards? Are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I surely am.
Okay, I will ask you a question first then.
Sounds good.
In the 1996 movie Jack Frost, the serial killer mutates into what?
Snowman?
It is a snowman. Correct.
Very good.
I feel like that's one that somebody could guess if you thought about it for a second. I mean,
Yes, I've never seen that movie. It's on my list, but I've never seen Jack Frost. But I roughly know what it's about, so I was hoping that it wasn't like something other than a snowman.
Yeah. A snail. Okay.
Right. All right.
All right, then.
Your first question?
Probably not, but
I think you got this one. You like this
sure.
movie. All
Okay.
right. David Naughton and Griffin Dunne play a pair of unfortunate backpackers in this 1981 lycanthrope
An
thriller.
American Werewolf in London.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, all over that one.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah, that's only one question, though.
True.
All right, here's your second question. Where does Ashley Williams work in the movie Army of Darkness?
He works at S Mart.
That's right, S Smart.
Shop Smart, S Mart.
Such a funny movie.
It really is. All right.
All
Ready
right.
for your next one? All
Sure.
right. Teenage Charlie Brewster thinks his next door neighbor is a vampire in this 1985 film that was later remade in 2011.
Bright Night.
That is Fright Night.
Hitting all my favorites.
Right? It was a good week.
We'll see. We're only halfway there. Uh-oh, this might stump you here because I know that I'm pretty sure this is a movie you haven't seen that you keep
Oh,
saying you're
Lord.
going to watch. So I don't know if you're going to get to do this, get this one. What character is revealed to be the werewolf in the movie Silver Bullet?
Yeah, I don't know. The mom. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
It is the priest.
I should have guessed the profession.
Uh-oh. You've missed
Right.
one. See
Yeah,
what I can do.
I was like, you got to get these last two right to beat me because I
Know
might
it.
get that fourth one.
Yeah, you'll get the fourth one. It's an easy question.
All right. Let's see. Okay. I don't know. You may or may not know this one because I don't know this one off the rip, but you might.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Christian Bale played Patrick Bateman for the. Christian Bale played Patrick Bateman, the homicidal main character in the 2000 film American Psycho, based on the book by which American author?
Ay, caramba. I guess I wasn't even familiar it was based on a book. Never, I didn't pay that much. It is a very good movie. Oh, hell. I don't know. I have no idea.
It is Bret Easton Ellis. So
Yeah, no idea who that is.
I knew it was based on a book, but I couldn't have told you who it was written by.
All right, so I'm going to have to get the last one because I'm sure you'll get this one. This one's easy. In what movie does the government sanction an annual 12-hour period during which all criminal activity is legal?
That would be The Purge.
That is The Purge. All right, so you're up 3-2. I've got one question left to send this thing into overtime. Let's see what happens.
All right. What state does the film and comic book miniseries 30 Days of Night take place?
Alaska?
Yep, it is Alaska.
Oh, we have sudden death.
That's right, overtime.
All right, here we go. Your fourth or fifth question, excuse me. This 2010 movie involved unwilling participants in a Nazi doctor's sadistic experiments.
Is it Nazi doctor? Is it the human centipede?
It is the human centipede, correct?
I didn't know he was a Nazi. Maybe I didn't watch that movie or
Apparently he is.
apparently. All right. Your fifth question is, what actress played Tiffany in The Bride of Chucky?
Jennifer Tilly.
That is correct.
I was totally shooting a blank there for a second. And I'm like, oh shit. I don't know why. But, okay. Woo! Tied up 4-4. Oh, I think this is an easy one. We'll see what you think. This is a quote. One thing about living in Santa Carla, I never could stomach all the damn vampires. Name the movie.
That Lost Boys?
That is The Lost Boys, correct.
Very good. All right. Your sixth question to keep this going. What Clive Barker movie focuses on monsters who inhabit the underground city of Midian?
Oh no. Shit. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not a huge Clive Barker guy. I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can, only Clive Barker I can think of is Hellraiser, but I don't know. I'm not sure. What is it?
I was thinking the same thing. The other Clive Barker movie that I know the name, but I wouldn't have guessed it is Nightbreed.
Is that it? The Nightbreed?
Yep, Nightbreed. That's the
Hmm.
answer.
I'll be damned.
I've
Yeah, I'm not a
never seen it.
huge, not a super huge Clive Barker guy. I mean, I like Hellraiser, but I'm not obsessive about the franchise like a lot of people are. It's good, but beyond the first, I'm like, eh, okay.
Yeah,
All right. So
I've not really seen much myself either. I was going to agree with you.
yeah, there's several, but all right. So you won 5-4, but at least we got to play. It was fun. And all good. So all right then, that's it. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna jump right to the news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we're going to start off with Fuzzle in the Lens production just released a 10-minute fan film titled Leprechaun Revenge on YouTube. Michael Levy, who wrote and directed the short, has dreams to produce a new full-length Leprechaun feature. I presume that this is a like the Leprechaun, like the one from the 90s and whatnot. So
It
I would,
is. Apparently there's a character from the first movie is back in it, played by the same actor and everything. And I think it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, I'm not gotten to watch it. I wanted to try, but I forgot. But apparently it's pretty legit. And apparently Michael Levy's pretty hardcore about the Leprechaun. Like in an interview, I guess he said this was like the Leprechaun was the first horror he watched. I was trying to remember if when we spoke to him, if he mentioned that, that was his first, or not Michael Levy. That was Jason Levy. Yeah, never mind. Okay. So I guess no, he wouldn't have mentioned that. But so I don't know. Yeah, but apparently the Levies love the Leprechaun. And but apparently this is supposed to be pretty good. Got the same actor, one of the same actors from the first, and follows into the storyline. And I don't know. So I don't know if they're gonna use, maybe they're gonna try to use this as a pitch to do a new film. Who knows?
Well, I just pulled up on YouTube, and the cosmetics on the Leprechaun look pretty good. So,
Yeah, I know.
I'll have to give it, have to give it a look, you know? I mean, I'll watch anything from Fuzz on the Lens. Those guys
Sure.
could make anything.
I meant to watch it. I when I first saw it came out, and I thought, oh, I want to give that a watch, and then I kind of slipped my mind. So, but yeah, we'll have to give it a watch.
Sure. All right. Very good. So we'll keep an eye on that, see if anything comes of that. Hopefully we'll watch it before our next episode. But until then, we'll move on to September 23rd. The 1990 version of Night of the Living Dead will be released as a 4K steelbook, which will include the theatrical version as well as a new uncensored version from director Tom Savini. That's exciting. I'm a huge fan of re-releases of old films, and you know, whether that be like you know, uncensored or unrated, you know, versions of the films, just something to bring a little bit of a new flair to it in some way, shape, or form. But absolutely, I'll definitely check this out. Maybe I'll even buy the steelbook. Who knows?
Yeah, Savini, he commented on social media that this uncensored's his original version vision that he wanted to do and wasn't able to. So it's been, you know, they've restored it back to what he originally wanted. Now, I will clarify because someone pointed this out online. The uncensored version is only in the steelbook version. There is a Blu-ray version of it coming out too, but it only has the theatrical release in it, apparently. It's very weird. I'm not sure. I don't know if it, I guess it's just to try to get people to buy the steelbook. I don't know. I don't get it. A lot of people, I guess, they feel very strongly one way or another about steelbooks. I don't quite understand, but whatever. I'm more about the content, and it's like, if that one's got this new uncensored version, I'm buying that one. That's what, if I was going to get it, that's what I'd get. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say I like steelbooks myself. I have a steelbook of It Follows. I just think they're neat. So if anybody doesn't like steelbooks, yeah, there you go. But very good. So keep an eye on that, folks. If you are on the per on the on the what's the word on the hunt for a new steelbook. But that's all our news. So we'll move on to some upcoming birthdays. July 11th, 1943. We have Tom Holland, and we're not talking about Spider-Man because that would be a very old Spider-Man. But this is the writer and director of Fright Night and Child's Play, both of which are fantastic films. I've never seen the original Fright Night. I think I've seen the remake. So if it's even minutely the same, I'm sure it's amazing. And I obviously love Child's Play.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. But yeah, Holland, he's Tom Holland's done all kinds of stuff, right? He as an actor and everything else. I mean, he's done lots of stuff, but yeah, that's probably what he's most known for is the writing and directing those two. But he's still out there doing the thing too. I think he's still working it in various things. I think when I looked him up, I'm pretty sure he had a couple upcoming projects on the book. So still doing it at whatever, 82?
Yeah.
Almost 82? Way to go, Tom.
Hey, the grind never stops. Very good. So happy birthday, Tom. Moving on to July 14th, 1939. Sid Haig, who is in House of a Thousand Corpses. I think Sid is also in the other films as well.
Yeah, and he's in the Halloween remake. He's in damn near anything Rob Zombie does, but
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
and he's
Captain
in a lot of
Spaulding.
yeah, and he's in lots of he's in some several older movies too. Lesser kind of lesser movies and stuff. I mean, he's Sid had, he acted for a long time and did lots of stuff. But I probably most known for playing, Captain Spaulding in this day and age. So no longer with us, but to me, I mean, him being Captain Spaulding, the best thing about those Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of I mean, I like House of a Thousand Corpses. Devil's Rejects is all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are. Yeah, he did. We actually lost Sid on 2019, so about 6 years ago. He was 80. So yeah, but yeah, like I said, I like House of a Thousand Corpses, and I like him too. Like you said, I think he's one of the better parts of those movies. I think the Captain Spaulding character is very, very unique.
Yep.
But happy birthday to you, Sid. We're going to jump now to July 14th, 1961. Jackie Earle Haley, known for his role as Freddy in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. He was also Rorschach and Kelly Leak in the Bad News Bears. Oh, man. I actually rewatched the Bad News Bears, weirdly enough, like a couple weeks ago. I
The
was just on
original?
like a baseball. Oh, yeah. We had the original
Yeah.
Bad News Bears, all three of them.
Yeah, they're fun.
Those were varying degrees of movies, let me tell you.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
they get crazy because they go to Japan.
Yes, they do. Yes, they
That
do.
was a fun one. And like Jackie Earle Haley is like one of the only kids that's still like in all of them. But
Yeah.
no, yeah, I love Jackie. I think his role as Freddy Krueger in the remake is very often overlooked because it's a remake. But I think he did a good job for what he was given.
Yeah, he did all right. Again, he played, like you said, he played Rorschach in The Watchmen. To me, that's an unheralded movie. I don't know. I really enjoy it. I know they changed some things in it and whatnot, but I love the Watchmen books and the graphic novel so much. I like that movie. And especially,
Yeah.
I think you look back on it, it's like when you look back in retrospect, that cast is unreal. It didn't seem, like as big a deal then. But now, if you look back, I mean, with, Patrick Wilson and Jeffrey Dean Morgan and stuff. I mean, now it's like it's unreal to look at the people who are in that movie now.
Oh, I was gonna say, I mean, like you said, Jackie Earle Haley, Patrick Wilson, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Carlo Gugino, Malin Ackerman, even.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of people in that movie that you're just like, holy shit, like, did they just they pulled out all the stops getting people in this movie?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I like it. I enjoy it. But I know, again, I know they changed some things, but it is what it is. But yeah, I think he played a good Rorschach in it.
I think so too. And that's a Zack Snyder movie. I forgot. I always forget that, but he directed that movie. But very good. A little bit of a tangent there, but happy birthday, Jackie. And we're jumping now to July 15th, 1952. Terry O'Quinn from The Stepfather. So I'm assuming that's the OG Stepfather, right?
It is. Yes,
Yeah.
the original, not the one with what was his name? Was it Brendan Fraser from the 90210 guy in it? Is that who was in the remake? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But Terry O'Quinn also probably most known for being in Lost. He was in that series. But I was trying to think who played in the Stepfather remake. I want to say it was Brendan, not Brendan Fraser.
It was
Not Brendan,
Dylan
not Brendan.
Wolf.
Dylan Walsh. That's what I meant. Yeah. Wait a minute. Is that his name, Dylan Walsh?
Walsh.
The guy from 90210?
W-A-L-L. I don't know if he was in 90210, but I know he plays the dad. He was in Law and Order. He
All right,
was
never mind.
in.
I think I'm thinking of the different guy then. Never mind.
I'm. When was 90210? When did that even come out? Was it the
In the nine
2000s?
in the 90s.
Oh, the
I think
90s. Shit.
the late 90s.
No. I don't think he was in that.
But here's a, why am I getting confused?
No, you're thinking about Penn Badgley. Penn Badgley is the guy from You. He was in like Gossip Girl or something like that.
Okay, I know why I'm confused. I was thinking of Jason Priestley, and the reason I'm thinking about him is because his character in 90210 was Brandon Walsh. So I think that's why I'm confused. That's so weird. Yeah, never mind. Just ignore all that. But
That's a
no,
hell of a
Terry
leap.
O'Quinn. Yeah, Terry O'Quinn is in the original Stepfather, which an amazing movie. Very fucking creepy. He's spectacular in it.
Oh, he was also in The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. He played Major General
Oh,
Peel. He was the guy.
that's right. Yep.
Oh,
Like I
man.
said, probably most known for Lost. I want to say, was he? No, I don't know. He was in, seemed like there was another TV show he was in, but I can't remember now. That didn't last long. But anyway, yeah,
Was it
he's, I
Falling
mean,
Skies?
yeah, Fallen Skies. That's it. Yeah, was he in that? I was in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. It's been a
Yep.
while since I've seen that show.
Yeah. So he's done some stuff, but my first memories of him is from The Stepfather. So.
That was some like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon sherry right there.
This is very weird. I mean, we were bringing in fictional characters, and I mean, it was so weird. I was so confused there for a minute.
Happens, but
Whew.
in any case, happy birthday, Terry. Hope you're doing good. We promise not to confuse you anymore with people from 90210. But
Right.
our last birthday this week is July 16th, 1971. Corey Feldman, known of course for his role as Tommy Jarvis in Friday the 13th Final Chapter. He was also in Lost Boys and Gremlins. He's done a lot of stuff, and there's obviously been a lot of media stuff that he's been going through and just in life. So, but I'm glad to see he's kind of back on the horse. I think he's acting and doing stuff again.
Yeah, doing a lot music-wise. I see a lot of clips. I guess he's been out doing some touring and stuff, but it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, he's done these movies, but he had so many other movies, like the two Coreys did, that were non-horror stuff, the License to Drive, and all this and that. And of course, that Corey Feldman did one of the not as good Lost Boys sequels.
Yeah.
He was, and stuff, but I'm telling you, man, if you're in Friday the 13th, Final Chapter, Lost Boys and Gremlins. I mean, that's a pretty good 1, 2, 3, 4 there for me. Those are fun.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say, I feel like he's done some really iconic roles, but like you said, he's just done a lot of stuff that like isn't horror. So to me, when I think of Corey Feldman, like I think of like the stuff that he did like in the 90s, and I'm just like, it's so weird to think that he was like, prior to that, he was really popular, like in horror. I mean, Friday 13th, Lost Boys, Gremlins. But
Yep.
in any case, happy birthday, Corey. Hope you're doing good. Obviously, you're not listening to this show, but still, hope you're doing
You should.
good. You should, yeah. All right, we're going to jump now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We're going to start off with July 12th, 2002, perhaps one of my favorite of the series, Halloween Resurrection. Looking a little
Oh
crispy,
my.
Mikey.
Oh, the Busta Rhymes Halloween.
Listen, I get why somebody might not like that movie, but I just cannot. I positively cannot get over that line. Looking a little crispy, Mikey.
I don't hate the concept of the movie at all. I just think I don't know why bust the man. Did he have that written in his contract that he had to kick some major ass? I mean, he just I've never seen a character. I mean, that's like even stronger than Laurie Strode ever was. I mean, it's pretty wild, but yeah, whatever.
Just fucking beating the brakes off of old Mikey Myers and
He was. That was that movie's got a wild cast too, though, with him
it
and
does.
Tyra Banks and the one kid from American Pie, I think, isn't he in it? And one of the kids from American Pie and shit, what's her name? The girl from Battlestar Galactica, the new book Battlestar Galactica. Why am I? Oh, Katie Sackhoff. She was in it, and I mean, that's a wild cast too.
The kid was Ryan Merriman. That was from the other show that you were talking about. The
Yeah, he's in the American Pie movie, wasn't he?
I think
Movies.
so,
Oh, yeah, I think so.
maybe. He was it is a wild cast though, because you look at it and you're just like, this is such a weird, cornucopia of people. And of course, Jamie Lee Curtis had a little bit of a. Or yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis had a little thing in the beginning. I won't spoil it for anybody who's not seen the Halloween Resurrection from 23 years ago.
That's a 23-year-old movie.
Oh man,
I mean, we're spoiler free, but I think we got to draw the line somewhere.
I kid. No, yeah, she dies. Hope I didn't ruin it for you guys. Oh boy,
didn't just draw the line. You're just like, bam.
boom, bing, bam, boom, fight. But yeah. No, it's a good movie. Like you said, it has the spirit of a Halloween film. It has some creative issues here and there.
Oh, so I guess I'm off. I don't guess that guy is in the American Pie movies.
I didn't think he was. He
I'm
was in
confusing
like
him for
a.
that other fuck, but he's in a Final Destination movie.
He
I am
was.
just fucking up everybody today.
Yeah, Ryan Merriman was in Final Destination 3. He was also in, I think, The Ring 2.
The Ring 2 can't even be in the first one.
Nope, not the first, just the
What's
second.
the one? Who is the guy? Okay, what's funny is there is a guy in. Okay, so weird. Because Thomas N. Nicholas is in American Pie and is in Halloween Resurrection. Yeah, that's him. That's who I'm thinking of. It is the same guy.
Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Nicholas, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I
Thomas N.
see what you
Nicholas.
mean.
He looks completely different now with his hair and stuff, but yeah, I was right. I was right.
Getting
I'm
all these
good.
people confuzzled.
It's one of those days, but I was right on that one at least.
There you
No 90210 shit on that one.
go. Fair enough. But in any case, happy movie anniversary, Halloween Resurrection. Go check it out if you guys haven't. But we're going to jump now to July 12th, 2024. Perhaps one of my favorite movies of 2024, Long Legs. Mommy!
I don't remember. Where did we have? I wonder where we had that ranked last year.
I don't remember. I think it was top three. I want to say it was top three.
I keep meaning to, and I've said this every time this comes up, but I keep meaning to like put a notepad file on my phone with all of our rankings that we've done, and have it in there so that I can quick reference when this comes up. But I want to, man. If it wasn't top five, it had to have been considered. It had to at least been an honorable mention because it's a great movie.
Absolutely. Long Legs was, like I said, it might be my favorite movie of the year from last year, but I don't remember what I ranked last year at all. But it was
It's
super good.
the movie that put Neon on the map, right? That was the kind of their first big thing that hit huge, and now look at everything they've done.
Yeah, I was gonna say I mean, there was some stuff that Neon did before, but I feel like this one, like you said, really put them on the
Yeah,
map.
I think this went through the roof, and so really vaulted them to like next level. Now, obviously, last year our number one movie was Terrifier 3. But yeah, I don't remember. Long Legs, I think would have definitely been a top five contender at least. So,
And this is Osgood Perkins, he had a pretty good 1-2, which was Long Legs and the Monkey, which was this year.
Yeah, I wonder what he'll do. Oh, I think actually, did I actually see? Was there something today about a new movie coming from him?
Yeah, I think it was his Keeper, I think it was.
I think wasn't a new Neon movie?
Yeah, it's called Keeper. It's in post production. It's on his IMDb. It says it's supposed to come out this year, but I kind of doubt that it'll be released this year if it's still in post production.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Bloody Disgusting put a post up about it. It doesn't have a date, but there is
Gotcha.
a poster, which is not there's not a lot to it. But yeah, that should be that'd be interesting. I'll look forward to that.
Right.
So.
Very good. Again, little tight, little off trot there, but Osgood Perkins is the shit. So if you guys haven't been watching, I'm watching.
That's
But
right.
very good. We're gonna jump now to July 14th, 1999, a whole 26 years ago. We're gonna look at Blair Witch Project, one of the OGs in the found footage genre, perhaps one of the most prolific and important films of that genre. I mean, we both love the Blair Witch Project, and it's one of those found footage movies that Dave loves, but
I do.
You know, it was for a while, it was an exception to the rule.
That's right. And not such a hard rule anymore, I still cannot stress enough the importance of this movie. I'm telling you, living through when this movie came out and the fact that so many people in the media and everything else believed this was a real thing, because you know, you couldn't just hop on and check this stuff easily. No one knew who these actors and actresses were. And no one had, there hadn't been something like that before. It had for a stretch, really. I mean, it was a phenomenon and had a lot of people fooled and wondering, you know, what is this and is it real? And, you know, and had a lot of hype. It was an unreal, it was like viral marketing before there was a viral marketing thing. It was well done. Very well. Very well played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it will never be like it was, but movies are kind of starting to do some of that marketing a little bit more now, like with the Strangers website that they put up after their trailer. So hopefully
Yeah,
we'll see more of that.
the smile stuff with the people showing up at, you know, sporting events and thing. I mean, just, you know, stuff like that is, that's what you need, man. Get some buzz. It's, you know, that's fun stuff.
Absolutely. Very, very good. So, well, all right, we're going to move on to, we have two more anniversaries, guys. So we're going to rock through these here. We got July 16th, 1993, a classic, Hocus Pocus. This one's a good 90s. It's not horror, but
not
it is
horror.
Halloween.
Yeah, it's a
It's
Halloween movie.
Halloween.
Which, you know, we got to throw those in there. I've got an affinity for just the fun, you know, family Halloween too. I think it's not horror, but you know, it's fun. It's got witches, and we speak a lot. And the next movie even plays in that a little more that we're going to talk about in a little bit. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, gateway stuff, right? What's stuff that kids and teen, early teens, young teens, they can watch that might spark that interest, and it's safe for them, not too overwhelming for them. But if they're interested in spooky stuff, right? And this might be something, right? For someone that's young, they can watch this. Might be a little scary to it. Probably would be a little scary, actually, to a young kid, in a way, you know, because, you know, kids are scared of more things. So, but you know, those, you know, something they might watch and like and be fascinated with, and might end up blossom into a horror fan there. So. You know, well, you know, it's not horror. It's not whatever in our, whatever you want to call it, our breadbasket of stuff we usually talk about. Although we did review it, early on. No, we didn't review that. We reviewed the second one, didn't we? You know, it's still, I think it's still kind of an important little cog in the wheel in the big grand picture of things.
Absolutely. 100% agree. We can't all start with Terrifier 2 and love horror. We gotta get your roots somewhere. But very good. We're gonna move on to our last anniversary, which we've had a few of these lately, so it's just been kind of the release order from 2021. But July 16th, 2021 was the last part of the Fear Street trilogy, part 3, 1666. This one was good. Not as strong as the other two, in my opinion, but still a good, you know, Netflix movie, especially for what we were being given at that time, the COVID era. So, again, loved it. 100% would recommend you watch it.
Yeah. And again, same concept, right? It's, you know, is it like super horror now? But it's still fun. It's still, you know, got a little spooky, a little creep to it. But it's, again, it's another gateway, right? It's another step for, you know, I mean, we're talking 8 years difference between Hocus Pocus and Fear Street. That, you know, there could be people, that's their progression, right? They watch Hocus Pocus, and then, you know, by the time they get to Fear Street, that's kind of their level at that point. You know, that's what happens. And again, it's, to me, it's another gateway thing. It's another step. And but if, you know, I still think they're movies that you shouldn't sleep on. I think they're fun movies to watch. And looking forward, I know they got the new one. You know, when it coming out? Not, I don't know when it comes out. It comes out pretty soon, doesn't it?
There was one that just came out. We reviewed. It was Fear Street Prom Queen, I think. And
oh,
I
that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
But I think they do have another one in the works coming later. But I don't think it's this year.
They don't always spit these things out three at a time. What's wrong with
no,
that?
No, I don't think so. I think they just did the one this time, and I think they should have had three ready to go.
Slackers. Jeez.
Bunch of slackers. But yeah. But no, yeah, it's good stuff, like you said. It can't all be like super bloody gory. Don't get me wrong, some of these movies were pretty gory, but at the same time, they weren't quite the level that some horror movies are. So this is definitely one of those steps towards, you know, different types of horror. So
It is, and it's, again, people like different movies. They like different levels. They like different amounts, and that's okay. And, you know, there's, like you said, lots of people are not, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are, they're not going to watch Terrifier 3. They don't want to watch Terrifier 3. That's too much for them. That's fine. Let them watch Fear Street, and that doesn't make them less of a fan than anybody else. You know, that's, we're not going to go down that route. We get so sidetracked with that gatekeeping shit sometimes. I'm not going to do it again. But it's like, I don't understand the hate. If you don't like the Fear Street movies, fine. But who cares if somebody else does? I mean, I hope somebody's favorite movie in the world is Fear Street Part 3, 1666. That would make me happy. Just knowing that somebody feels that passionately about a movie, period.
No, absolutely.
But why do I care? What's the matter to me?
It matters to some people, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. It shouldn't matter to anybody, but that's how the world is. Like you said, we talk about this gatekeeping stuff all the time. We could talk for hours about it. It's craziness.
I mean, if it bothers you, I think you might need to, I don't know, pick up a second hobby too. I mean, you need to fill a little more time. Maybe, you know, I don't know, put the phone down every now and again and touch some grass. I don't know. I hate when people say that shit, but I hear that all the time with fucking people say that shit, and I hate it, but it's like, dude, if you got nothing better to do than worry about who likes movies like that and whether they're true horror fans, then I think you're missing the point completely.
No, absolutely. No, I like you said, I hate it too, but at the same time, the phrase touch some grass can be utilized properly.
yeah, I mean, again, when I say, I don't literally mean, you know, oh, fucker, get out of your house. I'm just, it's, to me, it's a conceptual ideal of, you know, spend a little time doing something else. Just
right. Get a grip.
Ring your brain out every once in a while and get some context.
True. All right. I think that does it for our news birthday.
We damn near got on the soapbox again. We said we weren't, and we were just
so close.
Woo!
But no,
hurry,
that is
quick. Get to the upcoming releases.
Before we do. better jump here. All right. Our upcoming release, we have Push coming to Shudder July 11th. The movie follows a realtor who must survive a night of terror when a deranged client shows up at her open house. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Next week's a little bit of a light week. Honestly, I'm going to be real with you guys. I think it's because we have Superman coming out this weekend. And next weekend, I think, is Fantastic Four. So I don't think anybody wanted to compete with either of these movies. I think I Know What You Did Last Summer will be competing with Fantastic Four, which is probably not a good idea. But who knows? So, you know, this is going to be a Shudder movie that we're going to watch. Obviously, Shudder pumps out some good shit. So I'm excited for this. But if anybody was curious why we're not reviewing a theater release, there isn't any.
Not really. And yeah, and when we came up with this one, I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then when we did this description, I'm like, oh yeah, I think I remember us having something about this at some point in time as an upcoming thing. Cause I remember this realtor open house thing description. I thought, you know, it kind of does sound intriguing. But we'll see, whether it walks, where it walks that line between a thriller and horror. I'm very picky about that here lately, and we'll see what it does.
Absolutely. But all right, that does it. That's our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about dinosaurs with our official review of Jurassic World Rebirth. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Jurassic World Rebirth. And yes, some people may say, why? Why Jurassic World? That's not horror. I would argue, yes, it is. And the truest sense, the Jurassic movies are horror, should be horror. But at the most vague sense, they're creature movies at the very least. So I think it fits right in. Movie was written, besides, I like the Jurassic movies, so screw you, we're doing it. Yeah. The movie was written by David Koepp, directed by Gareth Edwards, starring Scarlett Johansson, Jonathan Bailey, Rupert Friend, excuse me, and others. Movie is, of course, in theaters now. Oh, and this movie grossed $92,016,065 domestically on opening weekend. That's just domestically on opening weekend, which is clearly above good for number one. I mean, we're not even close. I do believe I have heard worldwide as of this point, this thing has already grossed over $300 million. Not surprising, I don't guess. The Jurassic movies have always been big, but I think this one, I don't mean it's, that's unbelievable. Probably means there'll probably be more Jurassic movies coming. And I'm, you know what, just as long as they got ideals, keep it coming. Bring it on. I like the dinos. I'm a Jurassic movie fan. I think the first one, Jurassic Park, is one of the most perfect movies ever made. I love it. It's such a beautiful movie. And I like the others, The Varying Degrees, which, by the way, we will be discussing just a touch after the review today. At the conclusion of the review, we'll be counting down our rankings of the movies from 7 to 1. It won't be a real deep discussion. We're just going to see where we each fall and what we like. And again, I'm not going to say much about this movie because, come on, it's everywhere, right? I mean, it is everywhere. The merchandise is everywhere. The people are talking about it everywhere. Everybody's posting about it. Everybody's, you know, it is literally dino fever. And before anything else movie related, I'm fucking here on all about that, because this movie, I love it because it feels like a summer blockbuster. And I love that. I miss that, because sometimes they use that summer blockbuster name, and they are, I get it. It is, but I miss the days when you had that big movie that came out that everybody seemingly saw, and that everywhere you looked, it was being mentioned. It everywhere you look, it was on the, it was in the toy aisle. It was on t-shirts. It was on cereal boxes. It was on soda cans. It was just everywhere. That's what this is. And that's what this feels like. And I love that because I just love that part of it. I love, cause it's exciting to me. And it, I love that right now everybody's so caught up in a movie because it's just, it's so fun to me. And I know there, you can't even follow what people say online about this because it's just, it is all over the place. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people think it's okay. Some people think it's too much of this, too little of that. It's like the, what, you know, whatever. Here's what I'm going to say. Well, we'll talk about our rankings in a bit so you can see where, well, at least what we think it falls, each of us. Did I like this movie? Absolutely. I really, really liked this movie. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was head and shoulders better than the last two movies. I liked that this movie had more dinosaurs in it than they have in a bit. I thought Scarlett Johansson did a great job. I thought the entire cast did a great job. I liked, you know, for what it was, I thought the concept of the movie was fine. It worked. It was okay. I don't know. I don't know what the people that complain about it, I think they will complain about anything because I don't know what more they want. Because all I know is I went and sat and I watched a 2.5-hour movie with dinosaurs and some action and everything else and throwbacks to previous Jurassic movies. And I just fucking had fun. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. And it was completely, that's what I go to the movie theater for. It encompassed everything I go to a movie theater for. Now, to be fair, like I've said in the past, I could be a touch biased because I do love the Jurassic movies. We'll rank them from 7 to 1, but I don't necessarily hate any of them. I definitely have favorites. Some I like more than others. Some I have problems with, but I enjoy them because I like the dinosaurs, man. And I like the way these movies are made. But I thought this movie was a hit. I thought this movie, I understand why it's 300 million. It's fun. It's a good movie. It's one of those movies that you watch it and you know, you want to go watch it again because it's fun and you want to see if you missed something. And I just feel like this has captured, at least for me personally, has captured a lot about going to a theater and seeing a movie in the summer that has been missing for a while. It just hadn't been there, right? This feels like, you know, the 90s again with the summer blockbusters over merchandise, seeing it everywhere. And it just, I love it. I think it's fun. It's a throwback. It's enjoyable, entertaining movie. If I have one qualm about the movie, my biggest qualm about the movie, and I don't think this is necessarily a spoiler per se, because like I said, everything's been merchandised and there's toys out there and everything. I think I understand it fits the movie. I understand it's the concept of the movie. I would have liked to have seen a few pure dinosaurs and not just all hybrid experiments. I understand, again, without giving away too much, that's a big point of the movie. But, you know, I kind of do miss just that, you know, seeing the straight up, you know, a new dinosaur species. But, you know, that's whatever. It's, there's still dinosaurs that, you know, they can have a little creative liberty with it. So, but man, I did. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was fun. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I thought it's just a fun, I think it's a fun entry into the franchise. So Ike, what'd you think?
Yeah, I do have to agree. I watched this movie and it kind of took me back to the original Jurassic Park vibes because, like you kind of mentioned, I like all of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World movies to some varying degree. None of them would I say that I dislike them. But like you said, some of them are varying degrees of likeness. Do I love the Jurassic World sequels as much as I like the original or some of these other movies? Perhaps not. But all of these movies act in some way, shape, or form as a medium to get that dinosaur content to me, which I love dinosaurs. And I do agree with everything you pretty much said. The only thing I would add to this is that this movie benefited to me from being sort of a fresh take on the whole Jurassic Park lore.
Yes.
It benefited from not just jumping off one of the other movies, There were name drops, like they name dropped Dr. Alan Grant at one point in the movie. So it does have solid ties to the other films and sort of exists on its own without having to cast Chris Pratt and everything. And, you know, I like that. I think that that's a really great, you know, take. Now, I do think that having some like the OG dinosaurs that we know and love would be cool. But it was really neat getting to see these really like sick and twisted like amalgamations of creatures.
Which it's hard to have that sticking point. You know, I say that, right? And that's a personal thing. But again, though, the hybrids, it's a very major plot point of this movie. So, so it's hard to, you know, to argue against what they've done in the story, but.
No, absolutely. I agree. It's like you want those dinosaurs, but you're like, but you also think to yourself, you have that little critical voice of, would it make sense for those dinosaurs to be there?
Yeah, right.
And to me, it almost seems like it wouldn't. I feel like having normal dinosaurs on that island almost defeats the purpose of the island. But at the same time, I'm like, man, it would have been cool to see like a normal velociraptor. But they had some really cool, you know, designs on the dinosaurs, and I think that it's a very unique plot device that really actually made sense. I think in world it makes sense, and like obviously you can't apply too much realism to a movie about dinosaurs in the 21st century. But if we were to apply realism to Jurassic Park and say, would this be a realistic byproduct of the original park? Absolutely, right? Like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And the reason they're going to the park, which I think is important, so I won't say it, makes sense, right? It makes sense. It has sound logic, at least to some varying degree. And I think the movie did a really good job of being cohesive, not having a bunch of plot holes, and just really tying things up nicely from the other Jurassic World movies, while also leaving the possibility of more Jurassic World movies in the future.
Yes.
But I agree with everything you said.
I have seen lots of people complaining about the opening sequence and the final destination like of it, and thinking it was hokey and everything else. To me, I saw it in a completely different way. Because I thought the quote unquote, what they're calling hokey and the whole final destination like approach of it, to me was a complete throwback to Dr. Malcolm, because I thought that was this wild, perfect example of his chaos theory, where it, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I thought, hey, that's wild. That is like this sparkling example of chaos theory, where you never know what's going to happen, but again, I might be biased because I love these movies. I've watched these movies all the time, so much, and I think this is a solid entry. If you're a casual movie going fan, I don't know, maybe you'd have issues. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird to me. I've seen a few people call it boring. I don't see where you can get that. I don't know. It's like, I don't know what you're wanting out of it. But I don't know. So, all right, then, before we get to our rankings, Ike, let's rank this thing. I'm not even going to try to be like any kind of whatever, any fairness or whatever else. To me, this was just such a fun movie. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. Just based on how fun and how much I enjoyed it alone. Do I think it was a perfect movie? Nah. Do I think they could have done things differently? Yeah. Do I think this is a sparkling example of a horror movie per se? Not really. I get it. It's a creature movie, whatnot. But I liked it so much and enjoyed it and had so much fun. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. And there's just, I can't do anything different.
Fair enough. Well, maybe going to, I like the movie. I did not give it a 4. I just gave it a 3.5 out of 5. It was not a 3, right? To me, it was way above a 3. But when I started doing the rankings, I had to sort of like bring myself down to reality a little bit, because some of these other movies I would give a 4, potentially higher, right? So I'm like, could I really give this a 4? And I could, but I thought to myself, 3.5 sounds good, but 3.5 for me on Jurassic.
I'm transparent. I'm transparent that I'm being biased here. And I don't care. It's just the way it is. Now, when push comes to shove, will this movie make my top 5 at the end of the year? No, because when we rank, it might make my top 5 if I was making a top 5 movie overall for the year. But if we're, you know, when we're ranking horror movies, no, this is not gonna get in there. Because while yes, I do find that it is a form of horror. It is a creature movie. It is not the prototypical here on the show what we look for necessarily as a horror movie that's going to be up there. So I will be able to separate that then. So, all right, then just really quick, let's just rank this down, count this down. There are 7 Jurassic movies.
Yeah.
And it's looking at my list now for the first time overall, it's kind of, I have to chuckle though where this would fail. So anyway, let's start with number 7. My number 7, my least favorite of the Jurassic, and again, I enjoy them all to varying degrees, but my least favorite of the Jurassic movies is Jurassic World Dominion. Ike, what is your number 7?
So my number 7, maybe I'll get hate for this, Jurassic Park, The Lost World. I was just not a fan of The Lost World.
Well, give us a moment here. My number 6 is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I think that the last 2 movies are my least favorite. Again, not that I hated them, but I think they are my least favorite. So, Ike, what is your number 6?
My number 6 is Jurassic World Dominion.
There you go.
Like I said, I didn't hate it, but definitely the bottom of the list.
All right. My number 5 is The Lost World. I'm agreeing with you. I don't hate it. I don't hate it by any means. I still think it's pretty fun. But it's just, when you look at the scope of the franchise overall, it's just, it doesn't register, just doesn't resonate with me as well as some of the others. So, Ike, what do you have coming in at number 5?
My number 5 is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. We had the same
bottom 3. 7. Yeah. Now, here's what's funny to me is I put at number 4, I put Jurassic World Rebirth. I put it right smack in the middle, which is funny to me. But I think it really probably speaks more to my top 3 and how much I love the top 3. They are, I said I like them varying degrees, but my top 3, I really love these 3 movies. So what do you have, Ike, at number 4, right middle of the pack?
I also have Jurassic World Rebirth, like you say.
That's
funny. The top 3, I feel like we have the same number 1, but I feel like our number 2 and 3 are going to be different.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out right here. My number 3, and I don't know, and this was kind of close to me, but I love the number 1 is a clear cut number 1 for me. There was no thinking it. And I don't think anybody's gonna be surprised. 2 and 3, because I love them both. My number 3 is Jurassic World.
Hmm.
So what's your number 3?
My number 3 is Jurassic Park 3. I love Jurassic Park 3. It's weird. Our lists were really close to one another.
Yes. Yes. My number 2 is Jurassic Park 3. I very much like it. I think it's a very good bounce back from Lost World. Again, not that I hate Lost World, but when you're coming out of our clear cut number 1, with Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah.
You had to have Jurassic World at number 2.
Yeah.
We both had Jurassic Park at number 1. When you're coming out of that kind of movie and you follow it with Lost World, I don't know. It felt like a drop. So, you know, to be frank, it'd be hard not to. But I felt like Jurassic Park 3 was a bit of a bounce back and a pretty fun movie. But again, that top 3, I love all 3 of those so much. I really, really do. They are absolute comfort movies for me. They're just so much fun to watch. And I think maybe, I don't know, it's part of the reason, one reason that I have always have kind of had Dominion and Fallen Kingdom at the bottom for me is I thought Jurassic World came in so super promising. It was so fun. Yeah. And then I just thought it shifted too much for my taste. And then I thought it just shifted more even. I'm like, oh, come on. But I don't know. And again, I don't hate any of the 7. I enjoy them all. I enjoy the franchise overall. I love watching the franchise, you know, all straight through all seven movies, or all, well, six movies that are available now. I can't wait to put Rebirth in there in the rotation when it comes out. So, again, I warned everybody coming into this. I'm going to be biased. It would be hard for me not to be because I love these movies. But there you have it. So, the whole world loves Jurassic Park. How can you not? Such a perfect movie. So good. So, well, all right. There you have it. Our ranking of the Jurassic movies, our review of Jurassic World Rebirth. We both really enjoyed it. And again, it's one of those movies. If I wasn't so damn busy and had so much going on, I'd probably be clamoring to go see it again. I just don't know if I can get the time to get away to get to the theater again. But I cannot wait for it to come out digitally. This will be one of those that I'll probably pay that big jacked up, you know, first day price just to have it and watch it again. So, it's fun movie. But again, next episode, we will be reviewing Push, which comes out on Shudder on July 11th. So everybody watch that so that you can follow along as we give our spoiler-free review. Also, we would like to say thank you to all our wives. I'm sorry to say all of our wives. To our wives and all of the listeners and followers for all of your support and interactions. Make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams or Listen to Their Screams and you will find us. So before we close, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh, man, nothing. It was a good movie. Good Jurassic Park week. Next week, like you said, a lot of Push. I am going to go see Superman this next Sunday, though. I'm going to go see it bright and early. Our theater has an IMAX at like 9:30 in the morning. So
I'm hoping to. I definitely want to go see it. Again, it's just I got so much going on. I'm hoping I can, but I may have to make time because I'm super looking forward to it. I didn't know at first. I had mixed emotions at first because of not, you know, having Henry Cavill. I really liked Henry Cavill. And so I was split, but man, the more I see of it, the more like, oh, this looks really, really good. Looks like a pretty solid Superman movie. And
absolutely.
So I'm hoping.
And I don't want to get on a soapbox, but just I like you said, I had that trepidation of like, it's a new guy. Like, I don't know what to think about it. But like the more that I've watched, like you said, it's made me more excited. But it's also made me realize, and this is no hate to Zack Snyder or to Henry Cavill, because I love Man of Steel, but those movies apparently have done like irreparable damage to like the image of Superman, so much so that people are like review bombing this movie because it's not Henry Cavill. And I mean, that's unfortunate, but I think it's going to be great. I think this is a really good setup. I think James Gunn is super, super promising and very good at making movies. Obviously, he's made three Guardians movies that have just gotten progressively better, you know. So I don't know, maybe I'm biased, maybe I'll just meet right, but
I love the Superman character. I think it is such an iconic American character, so far from what's out there, you know, what I've been able to see, you know, from the, you know, between trailers, teases, stills, posters, I don't know, this so far, unless they throw me a loop that they're not showing, this seems very true to Superman so far. So, and plus it's got Crypto. Come on. That's exciting. So, all right. So, there you have it though. But no, we're not reviewing Superman next week because I guess we could have said it was an alien and made it work, but no, we're not going to do that. We will be reviewing Push from Shudder. That's what's coming next week. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.